Hi, everybody. Feeling a little under the weather, so if I'm kind of froggy and snotty, forgive me. So we're in Acts. I'm teaching chapter 6 tonight. So while you're turning your Bibles there, I'm just going to pray real quick. Lord, right now my flesh is just kind of failing me, but my wife shared a verse that said that, Lord, even though my flesh fails, Lord, you will never fail. So just speak through me tonight, Lord. We've been learning about the Holy Spirit and the mighty things that it can do through a person. So, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do something through me, Lord, to teach us and encourage us and Lord, convict us if need be. And God, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we're all here. We can do this on a Wednesday night. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so what we've been learning, let's kind of review. We've got Acts, which is the history of the church and how you and I all got here, why we're here together, and why there's millions of people that know about this Jesus. So it kind of started off just like throwing a brick in water. It just exploded and rippled out, and thousands, tens of thousands of people are saved. Last week, Steele taught us about Ananias and Sapphira, about the how they kind of withheld and lied to the church fathers and said they had gave all this money from this land that they sold, but in fact they had withheld, and God showed that He is holy and that He does discipline. So with the church growing as much as it is, they're running into some problems, and so I'm just going to read the first verse of chapter 6, and we'll see kind of what's happening. In those days, when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So, what's happening is we've got Grecian Jews, and which are called also Hellenistic Jews, which come from, of course, the Greek culture, which is totally different from what the Hebrews are used to. But they're converts over to Judaism, and there's kind of a segregation between the two, even though they're both both parties are Jews, there's still a separation between them, and the Grecians are groaning that, you know, you're passing out food to the widows, but you're missing all the Grecian widows, and so there's a need arising, and you know there's this kind of split in the church, and so let's read verses 2-7. We'll look at how the apostles deal with it. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So what did they do? The apostles know that they're handpicked by God. There's 12 of them, and these guys have all traveled around with Jesus, and Jesus has given them the direct call to preach the gospel to all nations, that they're there to go out among all the nations. And I mean, it looks like when they say, how can we neglect the ministry of the word of God to wait on tables? It kind of looks like they're, you know, saying, oh well, that stuff isn't as important as what we need to do. But it says that they chose, you know, 7 of their best men to take over this, because, you know, the word of God and prayer is very important, but so is, you know, taking care of the widows and the orphans. That's what God calls good religion. So they want a holistic faith that does the word of God, prayer, and feeding the poor. So they pick seven of the most highly respected men. And I mean, what we can learn from this, I think, is that this is kind of the taking the first deacons. That's who these seven guys are, essentially, is the first deacons. And what that just means is servant. And here at the Rock, we just actually kind of introduced this idea of deacons, and really, you know, we had some of the church leaders come out and had everybody get together and kind of choose 12 guys that, you know, have good character and are faithful in what they've done for the Rock, and just, you know, sweeping and cleaning, they've done that, and they pick these guys with character that are led by the Holy Spirit and wise, and they've really freed themselves up to go on and do what Jesus has called them to. So I mean, really, we can read this and think, oh, they just, you know, the feeding the widows is you know, second to. But what the point is to get the word of God spread, and they really did achieve that goal, and I think we can, you know, serving and you know, if you're not on the serving schedule, I would recommend to do that, because it is important, and nothing that you do, even little things like mopping up, and it's all important. Because I mean, there's been times when, I mean, it was a couple months ago, and Steele was playing music and did an awesome job, and then he was on the serving schedule to mop, and you know, that's a lot to ask a guy in one night. So I said, you know, I'll just grab a mop and clean up, and lo and behold, Steele actually got an opportunity to share the gospel. So I mean, even though that's not something I particularly wanted to do, and you know, he was on the list to do it, you know, sometimes you just got to be humble, and God exalts that, because, gosh, the guy got saved. So, and I'm sure everybody has stories like that, that, you know, they just, that God takes these little things that we think are so insignificant, so menial, but He really works them for good, and it reminds me of. Hero of mine, Mother Teresa, that she in India, part of her ministry was what was called the House of the Dying, and they'd get hundreds of people that society had just kind of thrown away, and she'd bring them in, and not necessarily, and none of them, you know, they'd all have terminal diseases that they'd just end up dying, but she'd give them a home and give them food and just love them. And I mean, you know, that doesn't sound as glamorous as being in a band or being, you know, some giant preacher that's all over the place. But somebody asked her, you know, all these people are dying. You know, most of the time they just die within a couple of days. Why do you do this? And she said, you know, God hasn't called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful, which is, I mean, really. And we look at Mother Teresa, and that's amazing. It's, I mean, there aren't even words to describe, you know, what effect she's had on the world and what effect that she's had on Christianity and what the world looks at when they think of Christianity, because, you know, there's some good representatives and some kind of iffy representatives for the church as a whole, but, you know, she didn't do glamorous work, certainly not, but, you know, it is beautiful to see that's God's heartbeat, and that's God's kingdom. God does, he exalts the humble. So, and we're going to read about a guy named Stephen, one of these first deacons that was chosen to feed the, you know, wait on tables, as it were. So let's read on. Verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen. Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, these men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the custom Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting there in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So Stephen, in all he was doing, he was doing wonders and miraculous signs, and I can't imagine that, you know, even though he was not out there teaching all over the place and going on these giant crusades and going out into the village square, he was noticed, and he was infamous for his, just what he was doing for God, and no doubt for his love, and no doubt people were talking about him all over the place, and he was teaching people about Jesus in all that he was doing. So he became infamous, and it's neat that all these synagogues, all these guys from all over the place were coming to really do battle with him, and they couldn't stand up to the spirit he was speaking through, which is, you know, and we think sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't working like it does, but I mean, I know that sharing my faith can just sometimes when it's not in like a formula or something that's easy to, you know, grasp and understand, like if you've taken the outreach class, the diagram, I mean, that's a great way to share faith, but sometimes it doesn't come up like that, but when you can share your faith and it just comes out of you, you don't know where it is, that's the Holy Spirit, and that's exciting, and it's neat, you know, that, gosh, and a side note is, it says that there's Jews from the province of Cilicia, and there's a town in Cilicia called Tarsus. Does anybody know who came from Tarsus? That's right, Paul. Saul, as it were, because he was Saul before, Saul of Tarsus, and what's neat is, I mean, Stephen's, I'm sure that Saul probably argued with Stephen about Jesus and about everything, you know, that you know, Paul says he was the one of the worst persecutors, and it's kind of neat to think about, but Stephen was probably the first person in history to preach the gospel to Saul. And we'll see later on that Stephen was also the first martyr of the church, and I mean, you know, there's God's mystery that, you know, some of his mightiest people are always the ones that get killed off, but he has a reason in it, and it's I mean, I don't get it, but it'll all come clear when I see Jesus' face, and that's what I can hope for. So yeah, they couldn't stand up to him because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it still happens today. It still happens in my life and in yours, and you know, everybody wants to argue intellectually, you know, does God exist, and there's other people who want to argue that God doesn't exist, but that argument's probably going to be going on until Jesus comes back, and then that'll all end. But aside from that, aside from arguing that idea, you know, there's a lot of questions and a lot of things that the only answer can be God. So, And there's a lot of questions in people's hearts and in people's lives that the only answer is Jesus Christ. And I mean, so don't be afraid to, you know, don't be afraid to dialogue about it, because whether or not you know, exactly, whether or not you know Hebrew or Greek or you know, the, what, I don't know, what's one of those big words that the theologian use? Anyways, you don't need to know all that stuff. You just need to know that, let's see, yeah. I'm drawing blanks up here, but anyways, so last point I want to look at is verse 15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And this is just, I don't know, this is kind of cool. I think there's a lot of irony that's been going on so far in the book of Acts with like what the Pharisees are saying and then what actually happens. And all these Pharisees are saying that this guy is going to come and change the customs that Moses has handed down, and he's speaking blasphemy against Moses. But in Exodus, when Moses goes and sees the glory of God, he comes down and his face is glowing because he was that close to just the passing of God. And in New International Version, it's a little, it says his face was like the face of an angel, but in the New Living Translation, it says, at this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became bright as an angel's. So it's just kind of neat and kind of ironic that Stephen's face is glowing because he's right at the threshold of seeing God's glory, which is just, I don't know, it's ironic, but it's also beautiful. And I've noticed just meeting people that there are shiny, glowing people out there, and one in particular, and I don't think he's here. If you know Justin Hunter, I work with him, and it's funny. Even today, it's like I'm like, yeah, Justin, I'm sick again, and it's silly to say that to him, but you know, he's always very graceful and very kind. He's like, yeah, dude, I hope you feel better. But this guy has been put in the hospital twice this year for pneumonia, and not to mention that he's had brain surgery to remove tumors from his brain. But he's got the best attitude. Right now, what he's out doing is he's out passing out flyers for Easter service. He's out at, I think it's Pioneer Park on 4th South there, giving flyers to the guys that live in Pioneer Park, telling them about a service at the rescue mission on Sunday. And he's there with his kids and his wife, and you know, he's just a shiny, glowing person. I like that guy. That's a goal of mine, is to, gosh, be him and be happy and be joyous, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. So if you don't know him, he'll probably be here on Saturday. I'll point him out to you. He'll be smiling and he'll have a big scar and it'll look tough. And he'll look like a criminal, but he's not. So that's what I got for you tonight. It was kind of slow, but last week still went a long time, so I'm making up for... So why don't we pray and we'll go to our groups. If you're new and you don't have a group, I think I'll be meeting in the back. You can just come and talk and pray with us. So let's pray. Jesus, Lord, Papa, I thank you for tonight, Lord. thank you for hopefully speaking to everybody here, and God speaking through me and helping me keep on my feet, Lord. I feel like I could pass out at any moment, but God, you're good, and you give strength, Lord, and it's not from us, it's from you. And God, all glory be to you, and help us to just enjoy one another tonight, to love one another, to be be faithful in the little things that you call us to do, whether it's making coffee, cleaning up coffee spills, taking care of little kids, and whatever it is that you have for us, Lord. Nothing's done in vain, and that's because of your hand in it, Lord, that you know the beginning and the end, Lord, and you direct everything in the middle. So, Lord, I just pray we have a good discussions, Lord, good prayer, Lord, that those prayers that are good in your heart, Lord, and in your mind, Lord, that they're answered. And just thank you that your will is supreme in our lives, and that we can trust you and love you, and that you love us, Lord. In your name, Jesus, amen.